The Grind.
It's The Grind
with Nathan McCray.
There's just no way you can get enough of me. Yo, mister.
Giving real insight needed daily. Call 657-383-1291. That's 657-383-1291. It's blogtalkradio.com, The Grind 101. Join your host, Nathan McCray, 8 a.m. Eastern, every Tuesday through Thursday, for an unscripted conversation. It's The Grind, 657-383-1291.
Rise and shine. 6 a.m. and your hand can't make it to the alarm clock before the voices in your head start telling you that it's too early, too dark, and too cold to get out of bed. Aching muscles lie still in rebellion, pretending not to hear your brain commanding them to move. A legion of voices are shouting their unanimous permission for you to hit the snooze button and go back to dreamland. But you didn't ask their opinion. The voice you've chosen to listen to is one of defiance. A voice that says there was a reason you set that alarm in the first place. So sit up, put your feet on the floor, and don't look back, because we've got work to do. Welcome to The Grind. For what is each day but a series of conflicts between the right way and the easy way? 10,000 streams fan out like a river delta before you, each one promising the path of least resistance. Thing is, you're headed upstream. And when you make that choice, when you decide to turn your back on what's comfortable, safe, and what some would call common sense, well, that's day one. From there, it only gets tougher. So just make sure this is something you want, because the easy way out will always be there, ready to wash you away. All you have to do is pick up your feet. But you aren't going to, are you? With each step comes the decision to take another. You're on your way now, but this is no time to dwell on how far you've come. You're in a fight against an opponent you can't see, but oh, you can feel him on your heels, can't you? Feel him breathing down your neck. You know what that is? That's you. Your fears, your doubts, and insecurities all lined up like a firing squad, ready to shoot you out of the sky. But don't lose heart. While they're not easily defeated, they are far from invincible. Remember, this is The Grind, the battle royale between you and your mind, your body, and the devil on your shoulder who's telling you that this is just a game. This is just a waste of time. Your opponents are stronger than you. Drown out the voice of uncertainty with the sound of your own heartbeat. Burn away your self-doubt with the fire lit beneath you. Remember what we're fighting for, and never forget that momentum is a cruel mistress. She can turn on a dime or the smallest mistake. She is ever searching for the weak place in your armor, that one tiny thing you forgot to prepare for. So as long as the devil is hiding the details, the question remains, is that all you got? Are you sure? And when the answer is yes, when you've done all you can to prepare yourself for battle, then it's time to go forth and boldly face your enemy, the enemy within. Only now you must take that fight into the open, into hostile territory. You're a lion in a field of lions, all hunting the same elusive prey with a desperate starvation that says victory is the only thing that can keep you alive. So believe that voice that says you can run a little faster, and you can throw a little harder, and that for you, the laws of physics are merely a suggestion. Luck is the last dying wish of those who want to believe that winning can happen by accident. Sweat, on the other hand, is for those who know it's a choice. So decide now, because destiny waits for no man. And when your time comes, and 1,000 different voices are trying to tell you you're not ready for it, listen instead to that lone voice of dissent. The one that says you are ready, you are prepared. It's all up to you now. So rise and shine.
Wake up, wake up, wake up. Rise and shine, rise and grind. Everybody, welcome to The Grind. Guys, go ahead right now, if you would, send this number out to somebody that you know may need some help this morning, because I can promise you that this morning's show is definitely going to help them, like every other show. But nonetheless, have them call in at 657-383-1291, or if they're sitting at their desk and they're wondering why they still at that job, why they can't get free, why they can't get off that job, why they got to listen to somebody telling them what to do all the time. If they want to get off of it, tell them to dial into The Grind or just log in on their PC. Guys, blogtalkradio.com/thegrind101, and tell them, you know what? You got the victory. You just got to want it.
Hey, y'all, 1, 2, 3. Get up. We got victory. No estimate. Throw at me. You know it won't prosper now.
Yes.
call it down.
Be ready for the new Jericho. You're waiting on God. He's waiting on you.
So what you gonna do?
Hey, yo, 1, 2, 3. Get up, we got victory. No weapon may throw at me.
It won't.
You know it won't prosper now.
Ron, this is crazy.
Hey, yo, 1, 2, 3. Get up, we got victory. No weapon may throw at me. You know it won't prosper now. Storm's raging.
I'm doing good.
You see the world changing.
I'm doing good.
I know.
No weapon, no weapon, no weapon, man. If y'all ain't feeling good this morning, go get another cup of coffee. Go get another cup of coffee. I'm telling you right now, it's up at 4:30 this morning. You know, the last couple of mornings, I've been up super early. I think I woke up at like 4 o'clock, got out of bed at 4:30, and, you know, I just couldn't sleep. I can't sleep, you know. And you know what? Some of y'all are saying, well, you know what? You go to bed early. I go to bed at 11, maybe 12 o'clock. That's not early. That's late for me. Early for me is 9 o'clock. You know what? When you are bad, when you are really, really trying to accomplish something, you know that no weapon that they throw at you is gonna prosper. You get up early in the morning because there's so many things on your mind can't even rest. So it's either stress or it's either blessed. One of the two, it wakes you up. And right now, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not stressed. I'm blessed. And I know for a fact that God has some things in store for me, man. You know, what's ahead of me is greater. Wow. What's ahead of me is greater than what's behind me. Man, remember, I always tell you guys, I always tell you, keep looking forward, keep moving forward, because there's absolutely nothing behind you worth fighting for, worth seeing. So man, wake up. Some of y'all on the way to work. Some of y'all are actually at work right now, logged in, trying to sneak and listen to the grind. I appreciate you. I appreciate you. But I'm going to tell you something right now. You should be at a stage in your life. I don't care what you got going on. You should be at a stage in your life to where you're taking advantage of everything that God has for you. And you're not trying to get something for nothing. You're not just trying to have a free ride. You're not trying to play the lottery every day and trying to figure out if I can just get some money, you know, based on me, you know, putting out $1, $2, $3, whatever you play the lottery. Some of y'all make a budget for that thing. You pay the lottery. You play the lottery like, you know, $20 a week or $10 a day. I know people that play that thing religiously. You know what? Is there anything wrong with playing the lottery? Absolutely not. Why not get your chance at it? But I'm here to tell you, if you base your life on a lottery mentality, then guess what? You're going to be sadly, sadly, sadly disappointed from what you get. So, man, let's talk about something that my dad talked to me about a long time ago. You know, he always told me, and I hope I sound okay, guys, I got a new microphone or a new piece to my microphone. So, you know, somebody tell me if I'm sounding good or if I'm sounding bad. You know, I'm feeling this thing this morning, this microphone. I'm liking it. But nonetheless, you know, my dad talked to me about, you know, something a long time ago. You know, and he told me, he said, son, you know, nothing in life is free. Absolutely nothing in life. Thank you so much, Keisha. Absolutely nothing in life is free. And you know, as a little boy, you know, you think that, you know, there's some things that are free because you get stuff from your parents all the time. You know, your aunts, your uncles give you stuff. Man, that stuff is free, right? But when you think about it, it really isn't free because you had to do something to get it, right? You ever heard that? You ever heard, you know, people are always in life, they're wanting to really just get a free ride. They just want to get something for nothing. They're always, you know, looking for the free stuff. That person, when you're eating something, they always ask you for some. Man, I remember I had a friend growing up, and he lived in my neighborhood, and we all grew up together. We all grew up together. And he would always, no matter what you were eating, he always wanted some of it. I mean, I don't care if you were drinking milk, he wanted some. And to me, eating and drinking dairy products behind somebody is probably one of the nastiest things in my mind that you can do. So he wanted some of the milk. If you were drinking soda, he wanted some of the soda. If you were eating a piece of candy, literally he wanted to suck on that piece of candy. He was just that greedy. And he had a sense of some sort of entitlement. I don't know what it was, but, you know, we would do little crazy stuff like get the Sprite, you know, get a Sprite drink and, you know, we'll put some, you know, some crazy stuff in it so that when he asked for it and he drank it, it didn't taste right to him. So we would try and curb that. But you know what? It was the funniest thing. There was only a couple times when he really figured out that it wasn't right. And he just kept on drinking it. He kept on eating it. It don't matter if it had a little dirt on it or what it was. So, you know, we never really figured that out. But we just said, you know what? That's a greedy guy. But the reality is, you know, he was wanting something for nothing. And guess what? I can tell you right now that on my last visit home, he was still wanting something for nothing because he had achieved absolutely nothing in life. Because, man, we all know that there's a world full of people out there trying to get their slice of the pie, or as they call it, the American dream. You know, are you one of those people? Are you one of those people? There's nothing wrong with trying to get your slice of the pie, wanting a part of the American dreams, you know, but understand that thoughts become things only through focused action, right? Only through focused action. Creating the reality that you want will require something of you. Nothing in life is free, right? The big question mark, though, guys, is are you willing to take the action necessary to get what you want? You know, there could be some little leprechauns jumping around from person to person, checking their level of dedication for what they're doing and rewarding a pot of gold for each person, you know, but I can't say that that's true because that would mean I believe in leprechauns. And seeing as though I don't, that just leaves hard work, determination, right, sprinkled with a little bit of consistency. I tell you what, my consistency, I'm telling you right now, has got a lot to do with my coffee. I'm on my third cup of coffee today. I'm loving it. You know, when you get up early, you know, I love listening to my boy E.T. You know, when you get up early, he says, you know, I listen to all of the successful people. And, you know, the successful people, they get up at like 3:30 in the morning. And he said, you know, I knew, you know, that they were, I didn't know what they were talking about because they were talking about, you know, the 3 o'clock news. And I thought they were talking about 3 p.m., but he was saying they were talking about the 3 a.m. news. He said, I didn't even know the news came on at 3 o'clock in the morning. But you wonder why people that are successful are so successful. It's because they get a jump on their day. Think about it. They get a 5-hour jump on everybody else. So some of you have heard me say, if you can't accomplish in a 10-hour day, I'm giving you 2 additional hours from the average person. If you can't accomplish what you need to accomplish in a 10-hour day, then you need to check your level of productivity during the productive hours. So they get up early in the morning. And when they get up early in the morning, they listen to the 3 a.m. news. Why is the news on at 3 a.m.? Because they know that there are a genre of people that are up that early in the morning. There are a level of successful people that are up that early in the morning, and they need the news too. So something for nothing. Man, you know, I think now there's an old saying that goes, you know, you can't have your cake and eat it too. And I never really knew what that meant. And I looked it up the other day because I've said it a lot of times. And some of you have said it too. But, you know, I didn't really know what that meant. And I looked it up the other day. You know, it's an old American type proverb or old American slang or saying, you know, that or just really a figure of speech. You know, you can't have your cake and eat it too. And it's really saying once your cake is gone, you shouldn't expect more, right? So in essence, what you work for is what you get. Don't expect anything additional for what you and you didn't work for it, right? I mean, that's insane. Who does that? Who goes out and buys a slice of cake, and then all of a sudden, you want a whole cake. You look over, you eat your cake, you invested in what you wanted, and then all of a sudden, you look up and you want more cake, and you haven't even purchased any more cake. But you look at everybody else's cake, and you start wanting their cake. You start wanting their life. You start wanting, you know, what they're doing. You want their house. You want their car. But you haven't done the work to get any of that stuff. Something for nothing? Man, that's the epitome of it. I mean, you can't sit around and wait on somebody else to do things for you either, right? Come on, I mean, what are we really, really saying? You know, when we talk about getting something for nothing, you know, the reason that most people won't be successful in life is because they fail to focus. Follow one course until successful, right? They fail to focus. Most people get caught up trying to find that get rich quick scheme, like the lottery. You know, if they put more focus on playing the lottery, they're like, oh, Jim, look, make sure you get my lottery ticket. I can tell you right now, that's my mama got to get her lottery tickets every week. Man, she mad if my dad don't go to the store and get them lottery tickets. Sometimes it's 2-3 times a week. She's been playing that thing, man, for years. So guess what? When she wins it, she would have had invested a large amount of money in the lottery. You know, it's just a win she wins. Because my mama going to win that lottery at some point in time. She's been playing that thing. That's what she dream about is that lottery. And I can't tell her anything different. So I say, hey, mama, go pay your lottery. Go play. My dad goes and gets the tickets. If I'm there, she say, hey, go get my lottery tickets. You know, if you're going to get some, separate mine from yours. She's serious that thing. She focused on it. She following one course until successful. But it's that get rich quick scheme mentality, that shiny ball syndrome. You know, the get rich quick scheme or mentality that you have, there's nothing wrong with wanting to get rich quick, but you got to understand that's got to be a bonus mentality, right? That's a bonus mentality. That's not something that you just wake up and say, this is my bread and butter. I'm going to try to find my get rich quick scheme today And you know what? I'm going to get rich. And I know the people. I know people that do that. And that's their only plan. That's their only vision. That's their only dream in life. There's no work. There's no focus on anything else. So if you focus on it, that's your reward, right? That's what you're going to get. You're going to get exactly what you focus on. If you're impatient, if you're inconsistent, then failure is your reward, right? What about the type of people that basically do a whole bunch of little things here and there? We call them either hustle man or side job man or, you know, jack of all trades. I know you have heard that one. That's familiar. The jack of all trades. You know, jack of all trades is a person that does a whole bunch of things. The jack of all trades and the master of none. He keeps moving from thing to thing. This is it. I think this is it. Oh, wow. Okay, you know what? I'm doing this. This is it. I'm going to make a little money in about 15, 20 different places, and that'll be enough for me to get where I need to go and do what I need to do every week, every month. But when you get sick, you hustle, man. Now you cut down to 10 things that you can do or 5 because you're sick or you don't have what you need. Now all of a sudden, hustle, man, just became broke, man. Shiny ball syndrome, jack of all trades, master of none. So what do you end up attracting? You end up attracting and developing a group of people with that same mentality, that same mindset. You are who you are. You are your thoughts are who you are, because thoughts become things. The thoughts are you, right? So a man is, so is he thinking, so as a man is. That's how it is. So your thoughts are powerful because thoughts become things, and now you start to attract in those same types of people, hustle man. So you're running a circle full of hustle men, you know, and next thing you know, this is your life. Man, the brain is so powerful. I keep saying that on every show. The brain is so powerful. It has the ability to cause us to be successful, or it has the ability to cause us to be failures. This depends on the brain power that you use, right? So think about the businesses that we do. Some of you are on the line and you are part of, you know, a company called Total Life Changes that you know, Pam and I are part of, some other business partners on this line. And think about your business. Just for a minute, think about your business and the people that you're developing and what your mindset is. You know, the get rich quick mindset that you have is I want it right now. I don't want to be patient. I don't want to be consistent. I want to figure out a way to reinvent this thing and do it and get it so I can get it quick because I want it right now. But you don't know what the person or what the people have been through that have been ahead of you, that have gotten it, that are paving the way. And guess what? You're paving the way right now, right? You're paving the way for your team because you're developing a whole bunch of individuals that have patience, have consistency, that are persistent, a whole bunch of people that actually dream, right? A whole bunch of people that dream. You want the residual. Look, let me tell you about the residual effect, because when people talk about residual, people think it's just money. It's not just money. The residual effect is everything. Don't get me wrong. Having residual income is absolutely amazing. Knowing that, you know, no matter what you do, you're going to have a certain amount of money coming in. That's amazing, you know. But at the end of the day, in order to get that residual, there's some things that you have to keep in perspective. There's residual when it comes to friendships, partnerships, family. You want to have a residual friendship with somebody, something that's going to last. You wake up and no matter what happens, that friendship is going to be there. Some of you have friends that you can, no matter what somebody says about you, they're like, nah, that's a lie. They didn't do that. You're above reproach because that person knows you. See, I hear the phrase all the time, says, you know, familiarity, you know, breeds contempt. And that's a true statement. But at the end of the day, who are you in private and who are you in public? If you're two people, then really and truly, that person's formed an opinion of who you really, really are. And if you're faking it, if you're somebody in public that you're not in private, then that means that the person is really not, you know, in contempt. The person is really seeing you for who you really are, because you're not the same person in private and in public. So that's a whole nother show. We talk about that another time, you know, the faking. But nonetheless, be the same person. You know, be who you are in private. Those of you that know me, those of you that know, you know, my wife, Pam McCray, you understand, you know that, you know, what you see is what you get with us. It ain't no airs. It's who we are. You come to our house and we're the same people. You're not going to see anything different. You're not going to hear us talk any different than you hear me talking right now. You're not going to hear us saying anything different than you hear us saying when we leave this house. And that's just the way it is. We've understood from a long time ago that it takes a large amount of mind power, brain power that you can be using for other things. That large amount of brain power it takes to actually put up a facade or wear a mask or be somebody that you're not. Because now you got to remember, who did I tell this person that I was or that person? So now you got different personalities for different people. And who can keep up with all of that? So just be the same person. Be who you are. Attract who you are, because one of the most powerful things and one of the most productive things that you can do in your life is work on you. Not work on who you want to be when you leave the house, but just work on who you are, who you're supposed to be, and become that person. And if you're working on that person, guys, then you're going to find out very quickly that you're the same person all the time, private or in public, right? So your dreams, you know, dream about it every day. What do you want every single day? What do you want? I'm hearing an echo too, so I'm pausing, trying to figure out where that came from. So it's, what do you want? What do you want in life? It's your dream. What are you dreaming about? Dream it, eat it, sleep it, smell it, wear it, meditate on it. Because what? Thoughts become things. Hold on one sec, guys. Let me get rid of this echo. All right, everybody, I'm back. So definitely thoughts become things. Man, I love the show. This is the realest show ever. I don't have to worry about being scripted. I don't have to worry about, you know, really trying to please nobody. You know, things happen and you have to roll with the punches. Just like that life. And the quicker you figure it out, the quicker you're going to be. So nonetheless, thoughts become things. If you have a dream, man, you have to eat that thing. You have to sleep it. You have to breathe it. You have to... You can't hear me? Okay. So you know, you have to eat, sleep, and breathe that thing. If that's something that you want, then you have to really meditate on it, and it has to permeate you. You have to really immerse yourself in it. But you're waiting on God. I've heard that saying a lot of times. I'm just waiting on God. I'm waiting on God. But he's sitting back with his arms folded waiting on you. What are you going to do? I see you dreaming about it. You're submersing yourself in it mentally, but when are you going to put forth the effort to actually achieve it? That's what I'm waiting on. I'm waiting on you to take one step. I'll help you. I'll take two. And as a matter of fact, when you really start to run in that thing, you're going to look up and you're not going to be stepping at all. I'm going to be carrying you, because it's going to be one set of footprints at that point. When God knows and feels and understands that you are fully walking and focusing on what it is that you want in life, then at that point is when he really steps in and starts to propel you toward in the right direction, and things start to come into play, right? So this is how it works, because you never get something for nothing. You can never have your cake and eat it too, because once you've shot all your bullets, once you did the little thing that you said you were going to do, and there's no more consistency, you don't have a plan in place where you have where you're going to be able to get more, you're going to be able to do more, you're going to be able to perpetuate what you're doing, then that means, so you got to go out and do what it takes to keep a constant supply of cake so that you can always have your cake and eat it too, right? So here's the whole premise behind, you know, the whole, I guess I want to say the microwave piece, because a lot of people do want things. right now. They want them right away. And that's okay with some things. You know, over here at TLC, we have a bunch of products that we call instant gratification products, because those products, there are a certain amount of people that want that instant gratification. They want those products right now, right? They're like, I want to feel good right now. I want to smell good. I want to talk right. I want to walk right. I want my body to be healed. I want certain things to happen right away. I want to feel like I'm doing good. And that's exactly what we have. We have some products that start you on the path. But the most powerful products that we have that go in and seek out diseases, products like Chaga that goes in and it seeks out the sickness in your body, and it starts to repair it. It's a powerful Siberian herb. It starts to repair it. And that's the residual effect of that is the negative piece is that, you know, you got that way from doing what you're doing thus far. So the reactive piece is that now you want to go ahead and start putting something in place to help you with that, right? Right? You want to put something in place that's going to help you actually get rid of what that disease is. So you put that in your body and you have to have faith and trust that it's working. And after a while, you start to feel better. It may not be right away, right? It may not be right away, right that moment, but you got your hip on. But you actually have the opportunity to start fixing something, right? To start fixing something that you've damaged over a long period of time, but you're putting something in your body, you have faith that it's working. That's the residual effect of the chaga, or the residual effect of what you're doing, all right, as a whole. But the people that have the microwave mentality, those are the people that always want things quick right away. They don't want to wait. They don't want to wait to start being proactive. They just want to be reactive all of their lives. But the residual aspect of what we do is all about being proactive. So what are you doing now that can actually enhance or increase or make your tomorrow better? What are you putting in place right now? What principles are you really practicing right now? What habits are you implementing right now that when you look up 3 to 6 months to a year from now, you can say, wow, I did that. Wow, I'm benefiting from that now, because a lot of us sit back and we say, you know what, I need this to happen right away. I just got to get this done. And when you have that mentality, it creates a sense of urgency in your mind. So therefore, the body reacts. So when you're really trying to get something accomplished, you know, you can drive a Ferrari, but you can also be careful while you're driving that Ferrari. You can speed up with control. And you can make sure that you're controlling the car and you're moving around and everything is, you know, everything is safe. You can drive, you know, a fast car that way. All right. But when you start getting in the realm of 120, 130 miles an hour, and you start to realize, okay, I'm not ready to drive this fast yet. So you have to slow down a little bit. You only go as fast as you can really control. So does that mean you're super cautious? No. There's a level of risk that you're going to take, but that level of risk has to be acceptable, right? So I say no to the get quick schemes and the money quick. You know, a lot of people ask, you know, in business, they say, you know, it's just one of those get rich quick schemes. You know, it's just this one of those pyramid schemes. And I say, you know what, this is definitely a pyramid. But it's not a scheme, because everything we do in life is a pyramid. We have some great products, so it can't be a scheme. So the pyramid aspect is there, is prevalent in everything that we do in life. The family unit is a pyramid. The hierarchy of God is a pyramid. The church is a pyramid. The government is a pyramid. You go to the school system, it's a pyramid. There's always somebody up top, and there's always somebody following somebody. That's the epitome of what a pyramid is. And here in society and in business, traditional business, the person at the top can never be surpassed. But the difference is in network marketing, you can be at the top at any point in time. So that's the beautiful thing about residual income, building something to last, being reactive, being proactive and not reactive. When you start implementing all of these principles into your life, then things start to take a certain shape. Things start to get on track, and you start to wondering, okay, wow, okay, if I keep doing this, what will happen? Well, I just say keep doing it. All right. If you're noticing that things are happening in your life and things are moving in your favor, then that means you're probably on the right track. But let me say this. Let me say this first. If you're not fighting in life, if you're not fighting anything, you're just sitting there, you're completely comfortable. All right. Then that means pretty much one of two things. You've either given up or you're getting ready to give up, because the fight is constant, right? The fight is constant, but it's just on different levels. Some of you think that if you get this, you know, if I get all of this money, you know, I'm going to be good. No, there's still another fight on that level. There are different levels to this thing. And no matter how high you go, there's a fight just waiting for you. Because guess what? It's always like a basketball team or football team. When you get your, let's just play football. Let's talk about football, because a lot of people, you know, follow more football than anything. If you get the star quarterback that you've always wanted, right? Dude has a great arm. You know, he can pass. You know, he can run whenever he wants to. He knows all the plays. Kind of like a Cam Newton, all right? So let's take Cam Newton. You know, Cam Newton is a great quarterback. He has a bullet arm. He's growing. You know, he's a big boy. He can run the ball. He can pass the ball. I mean, he knows the plays. And so he's a rated quarterback. So you have to believe that the team doesn't want him to go. So there's a fight for him, right? They're not going to let him go. They're going to pay him the money that he needs, but he's going to have to fight in order to keep that top position. So if he stops learning the plays, if he takes an off season and all he does is eats brownies and Snickers and drinks Coke, he's going to get out of shape. He doesn't do any exercising. He's going to get out of shape. No drills, no nothing. Then guess what? He's going to stop being in demand. So now that team is no longer going to want him. But here's the negative side of when the up is happening. When you're up, the team has you, and there's a fight to stay on the team to keep that top spot. All right. So there's a fight at the top, and there's also a fight at the bottom, because the fight at the bottom comes into play because we want him too. We want Cam Newton as well. So there's a lot of back deals going on, and people are trying to figure out how can we get him on our team next week. So there's a constant fight. So let me break it down for you guys in the spiritual realm. When you give your life to Christ and you say, you know what, I want to be saved. You know, I thank you, Jesus, for dying for the remission of my sins. And you give your life to Christ. At that point, the devil just lost you. The enemy just lost you. So it's his job, the job of the world, to get you back in the world. So the first thing that's going to start to happen to you is that all of these temptations are going to start to happen. Because when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change, right? But the things that you're looking at, they're changing for your better, because you just made a great decision. But also now, watch all of the negative things that are thrown in your path. All of the temptations that are there. Getting healthy, it's like weight loss. It's like getting fit. When you decide to eat good, eat healthy, it seems like, you know, you see the candy aisle, all, you know, you see more candy, more M&Ms, more Snickers. You see, you know, every time you pass by that one aisle in the store, you're kind of pull to it until you make that breakaway, until you're 100% all in, then the pull is still there. It's like a magnet. It wants to get you back. The fight is constant. Now, I heard one comedian say, he said, you know, you guys have a cereal aisle. Just one aisle in your grocery stores is all cereal. He said, it's like a 10 by 60 foot aisle, all cereal. He said, in his country, that's a school. But we have the one aisle dedicated to a whole bunch of nonsense
that's filled with sugar. The one thing, it's like cocaine. Sugar is like cocaine. I heard my brother-in-law say that the other day. He said sugar is like cocaine. You take it and you like it, so you keep on using it. And sugar is probably one of the biggest killers that we have, sugar and salt. So, you know, this isn't a health call, but, you know, we're talking about the pull that happens, that, you know, the fight that's happening on the top, the fight that's happening in the bottom. So that's why I say you're always fighting in life. If you're not fighting, then you be either giving up or you're getting ready to give up, one of the two. And at any point, if you've given up, if you're getting ready to give up, that means that at this point, you're stuck. You're stuck. And now that's when you start that mentality, you know, and I got to find something quick, get a large amount of money, a large portion of money right away. As I know what that feels like. I've been there, done that. And what it does is when it doesn't happen, you spiral downward in this hole, and you kind of like just wallow in depression because you were hoping something would happen, but it doesn't. And you put your hopes and your dreams and your aspirations in something that you don't really control. And now that it doesn't happen, now you're sitting back and you've wasted a large amount of time waiting on something to happen that you should have never been waiting on before. Instead, you should have been climbing in and practicing the principles, doing the things that you know you should be doing in order to fight the good fight and to fight and move yourself to the next level. Because it's worth it. So what is it that we're doing right now that we're saying that I'm not looking for something for nothing? I tell you what, I'm laughing because I'm thinking about, you know, different opportunities that we've been in and we know people that have been in. And you think about, we talk about the shiny ball syndrome all the time and how people go from opportunity to opportunity because they think that, you know, I'm going to go over here and things are going to be different. Even though, you know, this is a viable opportunity, I'm going to go over here and things are going to be different. And then they go over there and they find out, you know, I'm the same person over there that I am over here. So what's different? We say all the time that people don't buy into companies and products and comp plans. People buy into people. You want to know why people don't partner with you? It's because they're not buying into you. They don't like who you are. So they'll listen to you, and then they'll go partner with somebody else because they're not putting any effort into you, into the number one commodity that you control, the one that you can benefit the most from is you. So you don't have to worry about the shiny ball syndrome at that point because you understand that no matter where you go and what you do, you are still the same person. And if you haven't done any personal development over here, you go over there and do the same thing. You're the same person. So how do we work through this? How do we figure out that, you know what, I don't want to be a part of the shiny ball syndrome? How do we figure out that I don't just want to be a joiner, a person that, you know, just wants to pay a monthly expense or monthly fee to be in a company that say they're a part of it, but really aren't? They just want to sit back because of fear they're going to get left. How do you figure out how to be the person that partners? How do you figure out what you really want in life? When you figure out that any successful people that you see in life went through some sort of a process to get where they are, then you understand at that point that you have to go through that same process because they submitted to it without wavering. There had to be a season of unwavering dedication and consistency. Whether they're doing it now or not, there was a season in their life where they were consistent, they were dedicated. They perpetuated what was working and not what wasn't working. They chimed in everything. They were team players. They did everything that they should have been doing to get that level of success. Because they understood that if you think you can, you're right. If you think you can't, you're right. So they just cut out the middleman and they said, you know what? I can. No matter what, I can. They put forth the effort to do what it takes to get where they are. And I'm in awe, man, because I watch my I watch my kids and I watch my daughter Zaria, and I can see her resolve in school, and I can see, you know, how smart she is. I can see that she doesn't like to fail. She doesn't like to fail. When she goes to school, she wants to be prepared because she don't want to sit in class and look crazy. She has a mentality when it comes to that. And most successful when it was their turn to stand up and present, that everything was top notch. They knew what they were talking about. Their presentation looked better than anybody else's. They were prepared. They were proactive instead of reactive. And I watch her do the things that she does, and, you know, I can tell, you know, what her passions are in life. She has quite a few of them now. And most kids, you know, they do have different things that they love to do. But they start to dwindle down those things, and it kind of defines who they're going to be in life. Because most successful people, when they were kids, they've given themselves a lot of different options in life. And some of us, we're still having that kid mentality. We're giving ourselves a lot of options as adults. And we're in that stage in life to where we need to focus on something long enough until we can achieve some success. Instead of moving to a lot of different things and not having any success. And everybody has their own path in life. I get that. Everybody has their own path in life. People are going to do the things that they want to do the way that they want to do them, and that's okay. I used to be the person that wanted to try and save the world. Then I had a brush with reality, and I started to realize that I can't save the world. I can only save the people that want to be saved through what I'm doing, through my actions, through my life. If I'm doing the things that I need to be doing in life, if I'm trying to grow, if I'm trying to move to the next level, if I'm treating people the way I want to be treated, if I'm giving people the respect that they deserve and not the respect that they want, if I'm allowing the right people in my circle, if I'm discerning, you know, different characters of people and different of people's different spirits, if I'm discerning that correctly and I allow those people to sow into my life physically and mentally, then at that point in time, there has to be some duplication, because now people will look at you and they say, I like how bright that light is shining. They can't even see the light if those things aren't happening. If you're not growing, it's just like now you're just a shrub, you're a weed. If you're not growing, then no one's going to see you. So progress and change are two different things. Change is inevitable. It happens every day. Every second, things change around us. But the progress that we make in the midst of that change is where the success comes from. And it's what puts us on the road to the to being the success that we want to be. I don't know if I've ever met anybody that said, I don't want to be successful in life. I just want to be a derelict, or I just want to be, you know, the person that everybody looks at and says, I hate to be that person. I don't want to be that person. You know, that person's this or that person's that. You know, yeah, we say I don't care about other people's opinions and stuff like that. I get all of that. But I've never met a person that really didn't want to have some level of success, you know, in life. And no matter what it is that you want to do in life, you know, you're choosing the thing that you want to do. And you're understanding that there's no way that I'm going to get something for nothing. I got to put in the work in order to get what I want. So we get up every day and we go to the job. I talk about the J-O-B all the time. I've even called it a just over broke. I had one. I know what it feels like. I know what it means. But guess what? We all have a vehicle that we use to achieve the dreams that we have. And I talk about eat, sleeping, breathing, wearing, talking. I mean, being the dream that you have. Actually submersing yourself in that dream. I talk about that all the time. But what is the vehicle that you're taking to get you to that dream? For some of us, right now, it's a job. I call it a necessary evil. Because the longer you stay on a job and build somebody else's dream, then that means the longer it's going to take for you to build your own. We always say, build, you know, go to job and work. And if you got it, a necessary evil is you got to help build somebody else's dream from 9 to 5. But from 5 to 9, you need to be building your own dream. What are you doing in that time frame that's going to ensure that you're going to have a level of success that you want? I'm going to tell you my game plan. When I became psychologically unemployable as an engineer, I realized it 10 years ago. Things changed for me. It was different when I went to work because Pam and I had the mindset that, you know what, this network marketing thing is going to work out for us. We're going to put in the work and we're going to be wildly successful one day. And you have people around you that are having success, and you say, you know what, I want that type of success, but I got to put the work in. I can't just want it without the work. So I became psychologically unemployable, you know, 10 years ago, and that's when I started, you know, a group on Facebook called Jobpreneurs to Entrepreneurs. And, you know, that group was where you can come and you can share. That group is still in existence right now. You can come and you can share in that group, you know, whatever your aspirations are, what your dreams are, whatever it is that you are grinding with, whatever you're sharing, whatever it is that you're trying to make money, you're breaking into. This was just like a safe haven for you. Come there, pitch whatever it is that you want to pitch. What is it that you love? What's your dream? Because, man, you're a jobpreneur right now. And I made that term up. You're a jobpreneur. That means you work a job, but you have aspirations of being a full-time entrepreneur. So my plan was to work this job, and for eight hours a day, I would use my free time to build my business. And that's what I did. During the free time that I had, you know, I put the game plan into place. The blueprint, I started to draw it up, you know, started to think about it. You know, everybody else would go to lunch. And I said, you know, I can't go to lunch today because, you know, that's going to cost me $20 because, you know, as an engineer, you know, you go to lunch with people. They don't just want to go to McDonald's. They want to go sit down at a restaurant. That's what they think they're supposed to do because that's just tradition. That's how it works. So I'm like, that's going to cost me $20 if I spend $20 on a restaurant today, and I go, that's 3 days a week. I go with and eat out. That's $60. I can use that money to buy some products. I know Pam can spend it on some products. So you put the plan in place, and you're psychologically unemployable. So you steal away time from work. I found myself stealing away more and more time, creating more and more free time. I worked harder, worked faster, so that, you know, in my 8-hour day, yeah, I got to a point where I had 2 hours out of that day that I could actually build a business, put the groundwork in place. So that 2 hours combined with the 4 hours that you're building as, you know, an entrepreneur in the evenings, then that was a 6-hour day. So I had an 8-hour work day and a 6-hour entrepreneur day. So now you've got all of that 6 hours, you've got your personal development that you can do, you know, you've got, you know, the people that you're putting together that you want to be a part of your business, understanding how they're going to affect your business, what are you going to do to reach new people, things of that nature. So put all of that in place and was working that plan. And as you become the object of it was to flip-flop that thing. So at some point in time, you would be more of an entrepreneur than a jobpreneur. So I started to flip-flop it. But what happens is you sit at your desk and you're there physically, but you're not there mentally. So your heart's really not in it anymore. Be smart. You got to know, you got to put that face on, the job face. And you work the job until you don't have to work the job anymore. And that's exactly what we did. So it's the plan. It's us understanding that you're not going to get something for nothing. Nothing's going to happen overnight. Everything's going to require work ethic. Everything's going to require us dreaming, believing that we can, believing that one day that we will, and just never really wavering. Believing that someday, you know what, I'm going to have the things that I want, but not just believing in it, putting forth the work to do it. No matter what you're doing, I don't care if you're an engineer, I don't care if you're a doctor, a lawyer, whatever it is that you do, you have to submerge yourself in that thing in order to have the promises that that thing offers you. So I said earlier that sprinkle with some consistency and some determination, because you're going to have to take the hits no matter what. There's going to be some bumps in the road and some hurdles. And that's where people get kind of sidetracked. That's where people get to a point to where they quit. Things are going to happen. And when they happen, it's not that they happen. The Bible says that we wouldn't be persecuted. It said we would be persecuted for righteousness' sake. For righteousness' sake. So you're definitely going to be persecuted for what they think is right on that end. But on your end, you already know what you want. You already know what you need to do to get it. Stop letting things and circumstances get in the way. How are you handling those circumstances? Are you allowing them to put you in the bed under the covers? Or are you jumping the hurdles as they come, with the understanding that the only alternative to not jumping the hurdle is to jump it? But if you choose to not jump the hurdle, that means you're stuck. You sit where you are. And depending upon how much time you sit where you are, every time you have to restart or reset yourself, it's harder and harder to get going. So don't let anybody tell you anything different than what you believe in. If you believe in it, then nobody's going to be able to shake you or waver you in what you believe in. So guys, understand always that you're not going to get something for nothing in life. Everything worth having is worth putting in the work for, being consistent, determined. And guys, definitely follow one course until successful. So guys, that's my time, and it's been absolutely amazing. Thanks to all of you for chiming into the grind this morning. You could have been doing anything in the world that you wanted to do, but you chose to take some time to spend with me on the grind this morning. I hope some gaps have definitely been bridged this morning. And guys, I tell you what, this show is going to happen again on Tuesday morning, all right, 8 a.m. I hope to see all of you guys then. And until then, keep moving forward, because there is absolutely nothing behind you.
So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I can tell everyone I know.
You thought I was worth saving.
So you came.
You came to change my life. You thought I was worth saving.
You thought I was gonna die.